This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for hanging out with us on a Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line, alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Got a great hour ahead. We'll get into some player injuries. It's Lombardi's list day, so we'll get into the top five and bottom five teams in the NFL based on his power rated numbers. Also, a very fun edition of Why Not Wednesday on tap and a cartoon from our guy, Harry Gagnon. We're going to have him join us in about 30 minutes. But for now, let's start with some of those injuries, because Deshaun Watson, Michael, did speak to the media today and he gave us a whole lot of nothing. Here's the quote. It could be any day. It could be tomorrow. It could be Sunday. It could be 2 weeks from now. I can't put a timeline on anything right now. Deshaun, why even speak? Why even open your mouth today if this is what we're going to get? I'm so angry.
Yeah, I mean, well, it doesn't sound good, does it? If he does, he clearly doesn't know. He's not practicing. Right. He's not practicing. And, you know, typically you would say, I mean, if I were Kevin Stefanski, I'd want him to say, hey, I'm getting really closer to at least make the Colts think you might play.
Right.
Like, at least send a message to the Colts like, you better get ready for me. But knowing that he hasn't practiced, I think he's probably 2 weeks away. You know, when he said in there, why would you throw 2 weeks from now? Why would you do that? Like, why would you do that? It's just, they let this guy go to the press conference without coaching him. Are you kidding me?
That's why you have PR people. That's why we have media relations for moments like this, Deshaun. But they
that's why you have GMs, too. His butt would have been in my office. So like, okay, here's what we're going to say when you get down there. All right, here's what we're talking about.
If Deshaun Watson is not on the field this weekend, I can guarantee you he'll be stepping into the office next week. We got a lot of conversations to have with Deshaun.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. I mean, wow. I mean, look, he's hurt. He's hurt. That's fine. But don't give away, you know, like, why do we have to give, you know, all the vagueness that you put into that sentence really says that you're not, and you're not practicing today, says you're not close.
Right. The coaches are holding things close to the vest. You should too, buddy. The line currently, Browns are laying 3 points in Indy, total 40. Regardless of whether or not Deshaun Watson plays in this game, we know that the Browns defense is going to be significant, taking on a Colts team that's starting Gardner Minshew at quarterback. And the official update on Anthony Richardson, unfortunately, owner Jim Irsay posting on X earlier today that he is officially done for the season and will undergo surgery this week to that shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, look, this kind of short year, you know, first game, he gets hurt, gets a concussion, misses two games. Then he comes back and he barely plays a quarter. Like, I mean, you know, and I don't think, to be honest, Stormy, I don't think he took a violent hit. Do you? I mean, I know he got hit on the concussion and then it doesn't require a violent hit, but he's got to get his body. You know, when you see Michael Jordan's first year in the league and then you see his body in year three, you know, there's a huge gap that Jordan filled in. That's what Richardson has to do. He's a big man. He's physical, but he's got to grow. He's got to drink, you know, he's got to get those bones stronger, drink milk. I don't know. But he's brittle right now, you know. He basically didn't even play all the fanfare and all that. Now we're going to redshirt him. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, and he had so many of those like pop flare play moments that got you really excited. And it looked like in a lot of areas, he might be ahead of schedule based on the type of guy we thought he was going to be coming into the season because of the limited experience that he had at the college level. Thought maybe this could end up being a fun rookie of the year battle between he and CJ Stroud. And now that's obviously cut short. His development is cut short as well. So yeah, if you're going to play that way, because that's what makes you special, are your physical tools. You need to make sure that the health standpoint is there. So unfortunate to see the number four overall pick have his season end early. A lot of people's season ended early in Survivor, myself included, but not this past week for a lot of people, Michael. Only 46 entries eliminated, despite a couple of massive upsets in like the real football world, right? So San Francisco goes down, the Eagles go down, but they're not popular options in Survivor. The Rams were the team that had the highest volume of entries, despite playing a division game game against the Arizona Cardinals. They get through. So the biggest pick of the week gets through. The Dolphins, people might have been sweating for a moment, down 14-0 to Carolina. They get through. The Bills, same thing. They were sweating against the Giants, a bet that you thought no way would this even be in doubt at all, but they get through. So this week, as we go ahead and look down the line, Michael, you know, typically
before we go to this week, I want to make a point here. I think the Rams getting 783 votes or contestants is proof that you can't save teams, because ask anybody in August sitting at Circa, there's no way they thought they were going to use the Rams pretty much in any game.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Maybe you could say, well, they were going to use them at home against Arizona, but this was a slam dunk. You knew they were going to beat Arizona.
Right.
Like, you would have had to sweat it out this summer. So to me, I think this week is further proof that keep yourself in the contest and figure it out as you go along.
Absolutely. And this week specifically is a tough week to get cute with some of the options that are available, because so many teams are on bye. So typically when we talk about Survivor, we look at teams that are a 6 or more point favorite first, right? Like, that's the first tier. So there we have the Bills, who are a 9-point favorite against the Patriots, Seattle laying 7.5 against the Cardinals, 49ers laying 6.5 at Minnesota on Monday Night Football. So right off the top, those three, you have two division games and two road favorites, one of which in primetime. Let's also just throw in Kansas City laying 5.5 against the Chargers, but that's another division game and a game that just feels like a trap in my brain. The obvious pick for me of this group is Seattle. How do you feel?
You know, I think that's right. I think it's right. I think, you know, that Seattle should be a team that can win. I feel comfortable. The line is, you know, it's pretty much 7.5 across the board now. It's coming down, but that shouldn't concern you. I think Seattle needs to play well at home, coming off a tough loss, and they're rushing the quarter. I think their defense is playing better. Yeah, I like them in this game. I do. I think it's a safe pick. You get a home team. You know, if you lose this, it just wasn't meant to be, but I like the play.
Yeah, relatively clean bill of health for Seattle. Cardinals have kind of turned into the team we thought that they were going to be, right? That, like, from the beginning of the year, we figured that they were going to probably be bad. They were plucky for a while, but even once you get beyond the third quarter, it's like, okay, things kind of died down there. No James Conner. That feels like the obvious one for me. And of the 1,800-ish entrants that are remaining, 1,500 of them have Seattle. So I think this is going to be the most popular. Then from there, Michael, where should we go? Where are you looking after that? If somebody doesn't want to take Seattle.
Yeah, if you don't want to take Seattle, then I think you got to really say Buffalo. If you haven't used Buffalo, right? I think you got to go back history, right? When you waddle down that Indianapolis-Jacksonville dynamic and the history's all over Jacksonville winning the game, I think you want to stay away from that, but I think you want to gravitate towards it when it goes in your favor. Like, Buffalo has been able to dominate New England in the last three games. New England's not you're taking a team that's not playing well against a team that didn't play well, that's capable of playing better. I would say Buffalo would be my next pick. I would avoid San Francisco and Minnesota. Now, Minnesota did not play well against Chicago. Chicago outplayed them from beginning to end. Chicago is a better team than you think they are right now defensively. Hard to run the ball on them. They played really well against Kirk Cousins, but they turned the ball over once again. And they took, even Fields, for the limited time he was in the game, he took 4 sacks. But I would worry about Minnesota in a dome at home. I don't think San Francisco is going to lose 2 games in a row, but I wouldn't take that chance.
Yeah, and San Francisco obviously having couple of their stars dealing with injuries. It's looking optimistic that CMC, Debo Samuel, and Trent Williams could potentially play on Monday night. They do get that extra day, but still very much so up in the air from what I have read. But you mentioned the Bears, and yes, they are at home, but I don't know anything about this Tyler Badgett guy. Like, if you are looking for one of those games that's away from the norm, because there are always going to be Survivor players, Michael, that are interested in that, right? You don't want to go with the masses every week, even though, like, in this case, at this point in the season, I would prefer taking the safest possible option. Just get me to the next week. You have Seattle, use them. If you don't have Seattle and you're put in another situation, I wonder if you just, and I know the Raiders haven't been awesome, and I know that they have an issue at quarterback with Jimmy Garoppolo, but your starting quarterback on the other side is from D2 Shepherd University in West Virginia that no one's ever heard of. Like, that sounds like a really big opportunity to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a gross one to sweat, but yeah.
Yeah, we don't know if Garoppolo is not going to play. He has not been ruled out. I mean, his test came back negative, right? So we don't know. I mean, we'll know more today, but as of right now, his test came back negative.
He is not practicing today, which does not bode well for that situation. No. But you also have Aiden O'Connell, who's going to be getting those reps and that opportunity to know that he's going to be the starter going in. And granted, they haven't said that publicly. Brian Hoyer is the one that stepped into the game for Jimmy G this past weekend. But I think we all anticipate it being Aiden O'Connell. And behind the scenes, he probably has told whoever that person is. The Jags against the Saints, if Trevor Lawrence does play, could be a cute one. The Lions, I know they're dogs against the Ravens, but are they really underdogs? I don't know. Who are the Ravens, Michael?
Would you take the Lions? Would you take the Lions here?
I wouldn't want to. If I had Seattle, I'm taking Seattle 100%, 1,000%.
So rank them. Would you take Seattle? What would be your second?
I would say Seattle would be my one. Bills would be my two. But I would probably lean Lions before I would lean 49ers, which I know sounds gross, but we just don't know about the health.
I would go Niners before Lions.
The Lions are rolling, though, Michael. Like, they're confident.
Yeah, but that's always the problem.
Even in a game when they couldn't run the football, they were rolling.
I know. That's true.
Mm. And Baltimore can't score
Cleveland
in the red zone.
Why wouldn't you take Cleveland?
You know what? My B. I should have thrown Cleveland up there. I would prefer Cleveland than I would the Raiders. I would prefer Cleveland over the Jags. Even with P.J. Walker, just because the defense is so good, I feel like they'll just mess up everything Indy has to go. See, this is why Survivor's a mess. It's for the best that I'm out of it, so I don't actually have to wonder. We'll get your rankings, top five and bottom five teams per the numbers when we return. It's time for Lombardi's List on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now, get full access to VSiN Pro and everything we do through May 1st for just $120, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus exclusive betting content for all things MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season. March Madness will be here before you know it, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, as well as the draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up now. This is the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bond, and Tony with you. And it's time for Lombardi's List, breaking down, according to Michael's power ratings, the top five and bottom five teams in the NFL. And I think coming off of this past week, Michael, I'm very curious to see what you have here, because we had some wonky performances that I'm sure have moved around your numbers a little bit here. And for the past 2 weeks, it's been the San Francisco 49ers on top. They suffer their first loss of the season. Are they still there? Are they still number one?
They didn't really play a bad game. I mean, they're a kick away from being undefeated if Moody makes the kick. So yeah, they did. Buffalo's numbers are going to start to go down based on what they gave up offensively. Kansas City's really gets carried by their defense more than their offense, but their offense is still really effective. And Baltimore moves in there because I think Baltimore's starting to play better. Baltimore's healthy now, too. And then Detroit and Philly are really tied for fifth place because Philly, you know, didn't play well last week. Detroit's numbers have increasingly gone up, up, up on both sides of the ball. So to me, those are the six best teams. Put them in five clusters. They're the same. I didn't have Baltimore as a team likely to make the playoff, likely to make the Super Bowl. Remember when I did that list? But I think these other five are right there.
So what needs to happen for the Ravens to start punching it in the red zone? One of six in the red zone in London this past week, settling for field goals left and right, which, hey, they got the points on the board. But you look at that total for the game specifically, it falls under. Should have been a no sweat over based on how many times that they were in scoring position. What needs to change for them to get there and continue to rise in your numbers?
You know, I think what really has to happen is they've got to stay healthy, right? I mean, I think that's really important. They've got to stay healthy, and, you know, they can't keep their offensive line wasn't good. earlier in the year because of health reasons. I think if they do that and the way Lamar's throwing the football and getting it to the skill, I think they're going to be really good. Look, they've got to be able to run the football because that's what they do, and they can run the football. But for me, I think ultimately what it comes down to is their health. Can they stay healthy and can they rush the passer? I think Clowney's actually played really well for him. I mean, he's come in and played really well for him. So I think that's great. But for me, I think they ultimately got to stay healthy. Lamar's got to continue to play as well as he can play.
In a tough game this weekend against a Lions team that's also in your top that we were just talking about in the Survivor, like whether or not I or anyone would be willing to take a risk on an underdog in Detroit in this spot. Like, what do you make of that number sitting 3 this weekend for Baltimore?
You know, I was surprised it was a little bit, you know, it was 3. I thought it might be, you know, under 3, to be honest with you. I thought it might go there. But I think there's so much love for Detroit in the marketplace. Plus, I mean, when you sit there and the fans read that Jared Goff is one of the most profitable players against the split, and so is the Lions. They're one of the most profitable teams since 2000 against the split. So against the spread. So I think ultimately, you know, that's what gives a lot. But second road game for Detroit, no running back. This is what really keeps me away from Detroit in the game. Is without Montgomery, and maybe they'll have Gibbs, maybe they won't. I think that's a little problematic, but I do like Detroit's team, whatever happens here.
Yeah, I believe the expectation is that they should get Gibbs back. Montgomery going to be out for a little bit, according to Dan Campbell, with a rib injury. So something to keep tabs on because he has been excellent for Detroit to start the year. Let's go from the top 5 now to the bottom of the barrel. Michael, who are your bottom 5 this week?
Well, my bottom 5 is pretty much the same. I mean, when you go through it, Arizona is Arizona, Chicago, they moved up a little bit. Carolina is always kind of going to be teetering around there. The Giants and then, of course, the Broncos with, you know, the Broncos just can't get anything going. When they think they're going to get something going offensively, they've had chances to win some games. I mean, let's be clear here. I mean, they're playing Kansas City as well as you could play. As bad as they are on defense, they played Kansas City as good as they can. They just make too many mistakes at the wrong time and, you know, they turn the ball over. I mean, that's a 24-20. Everybody's loving the Jets, right? It's a 24-21 game, and Denver's got the ball, and they could tie the game up on a drive. And, of course, Russell fumbles it, and next thing you know, it's over.
Yeah, they've been mistake-prone for sure. The Jets, who you mentioned, move off of your list. They were previously in the bottom 5, but coming off a win over the Philadelphia Eagles and the turnovers that they were able to force against Jalen Hurts, I'm sure helped boost their numbers to an extent. They're not in the bottom 5, which surprised me a little bit. Where are the Patriots?
They're right there. They're right above it. I think they're 24th. Okay. They're not good at all. I mean, look, none of these teams, there's so many teams, I think, when you break it down, Stormy, and you look at the bottom, I mean, that's why I wrote the column last week. Like, there's very few teams that really have Super Bowl qualities to them. I mean, but when you go down the bottom, I mean, New England, Las Vegas, Tennessee, Washington, Atlanta, Indianapolis, the Chargers even, New Orleans, Green Bay, the Jets. Do you think any of those teams can win a Super Bowl?
Michael,
of course not.
Is this like, and granted, like we have a couple teams at the top that you feel pretty confident in, right? But it's still not like what we've seen in years past where you have a team that just feels like they are on a collision course and they're going to be there in the Super Bowl. It just has that feel the entire year. I don't think there's any team, maybe other than San Francisco, and it was a good thing that they got tripped up early to have that off their back the rest of the year, right? Maybe them. But other than that, still kind of a question mark. I feel like there are a lot of bad teams in the NFL right now, like more so than I remember in recent history.
And really, it's highlighted by bad quarterbacking play. You want to know why teams can't score in the red zone? Watch the quarterbacking play, you know, and they're not giving the receivers a chance to make a play. You know, they don't make throws in the red zone to get up to them. I mean, that's really what it is. We're getting a lot of bad quarterbacking play in the NFL. I mean, a lot of it, and that gives you no chance to win. And, you know, a team that even has a good offensive coach is struggling to get good quarterbacking play. So I think it's really just there's such a disparity between good coaching and bad coaching or good quarterbacking. It's really hard.
The Carolina Panthers, the lone winless team so far here in the National Football League. There is a prop 17-1 for them to go winless the rest of the way. Do you think that's possible? Or are they going to sneak a couple in?
I've often said to you, when I was at the Raiders in 06, we won two games with the worst team in the history of football. There's no way they can't win games. There's no way.
As hard as it is to go undefeated, it's just as hard to go defeated.
It's even harder to not just kind of milk your way into one. Somehow, some way, kind of luck your way into a one win. So, yeah, I don't see how it's even remotely possible to not win a game. I know the Lions would test it. Rod Marinelli's Lions would argue with that, but you got to be really bad to do that. But look, Carolina, it's going to be interesting what Thomas Brown does with this play calling, because they're not as bad as you think they are, but they're just so bad in the offensive line. And the quarterback, again, he gets killed. I think a lot of our problem in the NFL today is there's no respect for protections. No one's taking care of the quarterback. No one's taking care of the quarterback. And when you manage the quarterback, like, for example, the other night, you could just tell that the Green Bay Raider game, I thought, was the perfect indication of what I'm talking about. Both head coaches were getting killed for their play calling and all that. Really, what both coaches were trying to do was not let their quarterbacks beat them. That's what they were trying to do. See, it's easy for us to sit there and say, you got to be more aggressive. You got to go after it. That's what everybody said about Desmond Ridder. Now they want him benched. Right now they want them benched. So it's like, what do you want to do? So I think a lot of times teams are conservative because they don't want their quarterback to hurt them. And if you're the Raiders, you've lost three games because you had three turnovers, and the games you've won, you only committed one turnover in each of those games. So you're just a turnover machine. You're trying to limit your turnovers.
Yeah, there's a longer list of untrustworthy quarterbacks in the NFL than there are the ones that you feel very, very calm and confident in a lot of those moments.
Yeah, it's funny when I sit there and say, when people say, I can't bet that quarterback. Wait a minute. You can't bet that quarterback, but you're going to bet that one? Like, I can't bet P.J. Walker. Well, you're going to bet somebody else? You're going to bet Gardner Minshew? Yeah. Are you going to go bet him? I mean, you saw what happened last week when you bet him. Now, sometimes guys play good against bad defenses. You can't let that lure you into sleeping. I mean, but you have to be real. Like, who is good?
What's so mind-boggling to me is that there's only 32 of these jobs, right? There's only 32 starting quarterback jobs in the country, in the world, in the NFL. And yet, this is the caliber that we get for half of them.
It's such an instinctive position. Yep. It's not the most talented player plays quarterback. It's an instinctive position, and it's hard.
Well, we have a talented guest, Harry Gagnon, former sportsbook supervisor. He's going to join us next. Get ready for the cartoon, ladies and gents.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you signed up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And before we welcome in Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast, former Vegas sportsbook supervisor, before we welcome him in his human form, Thursday Night Football is coming up in NOLA, and the cartoon version of Harry has a selection for us. Let's take a listen.
Harry here in New Orleans, home of jazz, gumbo, and the Bayou Strangler. Hello, gorgeous.
Excuse me?
Trevor Lawrence? This is more awkward than when I forgot my words in my American Idol audition. Tommy used to work on the docks. Union's been on strike.
It's definitely enough for me, dog.
Anyways, I'm going to take the under 40 in the Jags-Saints game. Keep cashing. Now, which way to the all-you-can-eat crawfish?
For our radio audience, that clank you heard was Harry throwing beads at Trevor Lawrence from behind, and that is excellent. Harry, welcome into the program. Well done once again, my friend.
Thanks. Thanks, Stormy. What's up, you guys? What's happening? Everything good?
Everything's great, Harry. We're doing good. How about you? How are you?
All good. All good. Everything's good. Can't complain. I like the under in that game on Thursday. I know it's down to around 38.5 here. Listen, let me just tell you guys, I think the Saints offense is suspect, and all their six games this season have landed on 37 points or less. Derek Carr's numbers are pretty pedestrian. He's just averaging 216 yards a game, just a total of 5 touchdowns. Aside from shutting out New England 2 weeks ago, the Saints offense has not produced more than 2 touchdowns in a game all year. Very possible Trevor Lawrence may miss this game, which would be a big hit to the Jags offense. And defensively, the Jags have been led by the other Josh Allen in the league, who has 7 sacks. The Jags have forced 15 turnovers so far this season. And the last time these two met in 2019, it was Bridgewater versus Minshew. Not what we got in this one, but still, that game was 13-6. I'm going under 38.5 in this game, guys.
Love it. And if you had to make a play on the star, on a side, where would you lean?
I'd almost have to lean, Michael, to the Jaguars. Just even if Lawrence doesn't play, I think Travis Etienne right now is probably the best player aside from Lawrence on the field. He's been fantastic lately. I'd lean towards the Jags just because I think they have overall still a better offense. And Christian Kirk has been pretty good so far for the Jags as well this season.
I do get the feeling that Trevor Lawrence is going to play. Like, I'm curious what you guys think. The number has kind of come back to the Jags from that standpoint. Yep. He's talked in his media availability about like progressing really well, feeling optimistic. I mean, Michael, do you get the sense he's going to play?
I do. I think he is. But I think, you know, I think it's going to be a game time decision. I think if he can't move and push off of it, you know, I think against this front, it's going to be a problem. And if he's got 2 offensive linemen, Walker Little and Brandon Sheriff, out of the game, that makes it even harder for him. So, you know, you got to be careful here with your best player. They lose him, you know, they're not winning the South. I don't know who would, but they're not winning it.
Yeah, and Harry, for your underplay too, not only 6-0 this season, but on like a 12-0 run for the Saints to the under. Yeah. So I certainly like that play from where that stands. You are always good to provide us with a Wednesday teaser. What are we looking at this week?
Yeah, look, on Sunday, how about this one? I got the Colts up to 9.5 against the Browns. I know the Browns stunned San Francisco last week, but teams after playing San Francisco in the last 20 games are 2-18 straight up. Maybe it takes everything out of these teams the next week. That's a crazy stat, though. Minshew plays better than he did last week against Jacksonville, and they got to get Jonathan Taylor more involved. So give me the Colts plus 9.5 over the Browns. And Atlanta, Tampa Bay, under 45.5 on the 7-point tees. Ritter is killing the Falcons on offense. Defensively, the Falcons are coming around. They figured out to stop, teams have figured out how to stop the pass against Atlanta. And Atlanta all of a sudden can't really run anymore. They have just 10 touchdowns, Atlanta, all season offensively. And just 2 to wide receivers, both to Drake. Ritter has been sacked 19 times this season. 4 straight games, 21 points or less for Atlanta, and all 5 Bucs games, guys, have fell under 45 points this year. Only one is hitting the 40, so I'm going to go under 45.5, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, in an NFC South battle with the Colts in the AFC South at plus 9.5 over the Brownies.
What do you think about the first half on Atlanta? Atlanta's one of the worst first-half teams. They've been outscored 68-36 in the first half. What do you think about taking Atlanta and taking the Bucs in the first half? I think it's a low-scoring game. I don't think the Bucs are that great. Atlanta has played well defensively, can't turn the ball over. They had 3 interceptions in the first game, and they've had 1 fumble since. So they don't get pressure, and they don't turn over, but they've played well. You can't run the ball on them. But to me, I actually think that Atlanta gets behind in these games, and they don't look very good in the first half.
No, you know what it is, and when they fall behind, Michael, they can't really figure out. I mean, they tried last week to come back against Washington late in the game, but just Ritter isn't that great of a quarterback overall. His numbers aren't that great. Maybe they should have made a move and done something different, but I just don't. Just overall, Algier is not running the ball at all. He's getting like 3 yards a carry, and it's hurting this offense. It's just they can't come from behind because they don't have a lot of playmakers. Pitts finally had a first touchdown. He was supposed to be the next great tight end 3 years ago, and it just hasn't developed so far.
Michael, Harry, speaking your language about Algier.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why, to me, at some point, you sit there and say, I'll give the ball to this guy. He averages 5 yards a carry. I get the ball to this guy. He averages 3.2. I mean, Robinson has 80 carries. Algier has 75. One guy's at 5 yards a carry. The other guy's at 3.2. So I'm not a mathematician, but 1.8 difference in per carry, I think I'm going with the guy I'm getting 5 yards. I mean, that's just me. I mean, but see, this is what happens when you have, oh, we got all these toys. We got to get everybody happy. We got to win the game. And I think to me, look, that you call Pitts a tight end. No one, he's not a tight end. He's a receiver. So you got London. The guy who makes most plays on their team actually is Mac Hollins. I mean, Mac Hollins averages almost 16 yards a catch. He makes plays down the field.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the offense isn't there. They've had two games where they've scored under 10 points. And, Robinson, he's been fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's been awesome. But I know that maybe they don't want to just pressure him so much and give him so many carries. But, I'm still waiting for them to throw a screen pass to him and make some moves so they can create some offense and spread out the defense a little bit and, keep them honest. It's just not happening.
Here with Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast. Make sure you follow him on X at AAO Harry. Let's turn our attention, Harry, to a little college football. The USC Trojans got dogged last week against Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They're in a bounce back spot at home, laying a touchdown against Utah. Utah, we know, though, a very physical team. USC has a little bit of a different brand of football. The total there sitting 56. How are you evaluating things in the Pac-12?
Yeah, I know that USC defense has been awful, just awful all season. It finally came back to bite them with a loss in South Bend. But I'm going to go under 56 in this game, guys. I'm going to go under 56. The Utes are 5-1 this year, even without Cam Rising. Their defense is the best, one of the best in college football. All six games have not hit 50 for the Utes. Five of their six games, they've given up 14 points or less. I love their defensive end, Jonah Ellis. He's got 9 sacks already. 3 picks last week for Caleb Williams, less than 200 yards. I know USC's given out a ton of points, but I think this game, without having Cam Rising in the lineup for Utah, they're struggling to score points, but their defense is fantastic. I think USC shows up a little bit defensively here too. I'm going under 56 here.
Now your Diamondbacks are playing the Phillies here, and after last night's 10-0 win, it seems like, everybody in Philly thinks this might be over. But you got to play in the Houston Texan game where Javier over 4.5 Ks for -104.
Yeah, look, the Astros desperately, desperately need him to have a solid performance here in Game 3. I'm going to take Christian Javier over 4.5 Ks. Yep, at -104. 9 Ks, guys, in his playoff win in 5 innings versus Minnesota this year. 2 of his last 3 starts. In last year's playoffs, Javier had 5 or more Ks. And in his last 5 starts versus Texas, he's had 7 or more strikeouts in 4 of them. Javier, over 4.5 Ks, big performance for him, where the Astros seem to shine a lot better on the road than they do at home.
Harry, we got to go to break here, but could we get sweeps in both of these series?
Boy, we could. We really could. I mean, Texas is unbelievable. Wow. Not only are they undefeated, they've won every game except the last game by 2 runs or more, and the Phillies are just dominating. I'm supposed to be going to the game tomorrow. I'm probably going to go, but I don't have a lot of faith in the Diamondbacks right now with their 1-2 pitchers already getting gelled.
Harry, you're the man. Thanks for doing this. We will see you again next week. Yeah. That's Harry Gagnon. Make sure you check out the Against All Odds pod and follow him on X at AAO Harry. We're wrapping things up when we come back with a little Why Not Wednesday. Some long shots. You're not going to want to miss it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN is here to make you a more informed better year-round. You can check out those betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Thanks for hanging out with us this afternoon on the Lombardi Line. And it is time for one of my favorite segments that we do every single week, Why Not Wednesday? So we have put together, Michael, some long shots that could or could not make you turn your head and say, why not fire a ticket on it, okay? Let's start with the Cincinnati Bengals, because earlier in the show, when we were talking about 3-3 teams and whether or not we were buying or selling, you looked at the Cincinnati Bengals and you said you were buying. Are you buying a why not on their Super Bowl odds, though, is the question, 25-1?
I mean, why not? I mean, the last 2 years, once they got there, the other time they were, a penalty away from getting the game into overtime. So why not? They have to get their line fixed. They've got to continue to play better defensively. They've got to protect Burrow. But there's a lot of obstacles to overcome, but why not? At 25-1, it's a worthwhile bet. I don't see it as a St. Jude's play.
Speaking of potential St. Jude's plays, I'm going to throw this one at you. Comeback player of the year. We've had all this talk all offseason about DeMar Hamlin, and if he just plays a snap, he's going to go ahead and win. He's an odds-on favorite still, minus 170, I believe, is where he's currently at. But there's also been a lot of headlines about Aaron Rodgers. We showed you the video earlier of him throwing pregame ahead of the Eagles game this weekend. He is at least talking like he's thinking he can come back this season. Comeback player of the year, we know, is a regular season award, Michael. So he would have to play before the season ended, you would imagine. If Aaron Rodgers starts a game, takes a snap in the regular season, would it be worth a 90-1 for comeback player of the year? Could you say why not?
No, I would not say why not. I would call St. Jude's and let those kids have your money, please, because this is not going to happen. It's not a play. You don't want to make a play. You just give it to the kids. They deserve it. They really do. Why waste it on this? You're not going to cash it. If he comes back 4 months from the surgery, it would be January 11th. That's the regular season's over by then. It's just not possible. I mean, have you tried? I mean, I got Bill Berman lecturing me every day on the on Achilles and how difficult it is. There's no way this is happening.
Especially at 40 years old in my mind. And maybe, Michael, this is good for every single day on the show. We do pro tips. Every show here at the network does them as well. So maybe, like, pro tip this week, if you are wanting to buy in and back the Jets, don't do so with the anticipation that you're going to have Aaron Rodgers back at the end of the season, or you're going to have Aaron Rodgers save the day in the playoffs.
No, I wouldn't buy the Jets. I didn't that, but I agree. That's a good pro tip. If you want, don't do it with the assumption that you are going to get Aaron Rodgers back. Do it with the assumption you're going to win with defense, kind of like what we talked about when Rodgers got hurt. Zach Wilson can't hurt us, can't turn it over. We got to play great defense.
Don't waste.
I still don't think they make it. Yeah. I still don't think they make it, but, you know, it's a nice story.
Yeah, their win total has stayed where it's at there, low, despite them winning their last two games for a reason. So, yeah, don't. Pro tips, again, available at VSiN.com, searchable by sport and by show. But let's keep it moving here with Why Not Wednesday, because I got one I think you're going to like. And we discussed it briefly yesterday, and I think that you are on my same track here. Jared Goff, 20-1, league MVP. Can you say why not?
Why not? I mean, look, the Lions are good. This is probably the best Lions team we've seen, I'm sure, in your lifetime, Stormy.
Oh, yes.
You know, I can remember Monty Clark had a team in 84, 83 that was good. You know, there were some teams in the 50s. Buddy Parker coached them. I wasn't alive, but they were good. But they're good. I mean, they're good. Give them their due. And Goff is playing really well. And the thing that makes Goff a highlight to be the MVP of the league is he doesn't have elite receivers. He's not throwing to Tyreek Hill. He's not throwing to Waddle. He's throwing to Amon St. Brown, who's really a good player, really a good player. Jameson Williams is a young player, you know. And so I think that Goff, certainly at 20-1, is a really good, strong play.
I think to win it, he's going to need to boost the touchdown numbers right now, just 11 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. But the yardage, he's there top 5. Completion percentage, 70% completions on the year, including a league best 70% completions on the deep throws. So he's doing it.
How about if they get the second seed? How about if they get the first seed?
Yeah.
I mean, forget all the numbers, right? If the Lions are the number one seed, he gets it.
Yeah. I love that. And I mean, talk narrative too. This is another one of those awards that's voted on by humans. You think of him being exiled to the island of misfit toys, leaving Los Angeles, goes to Detroit. What's your future going to be? The historic standpoint of Detroit, as you referenced, like this is a team that has one playoff win since the 50s. And my lifetime, actually, they were good in my lifetime for a moment. I was born in 92. They won their last division title in 93. So they have been good in my lifetime. I just wasn't cognizantly aware of it at the time. I love it as well. Okay, so that one makes us say why not. Let's keep it going. How about this weekend, San Francisco 49ers, Monday Night Football in Minnesota. Could you say why not about the Vikings getting the upset and the Niners dropping 2 in a row?
I could say why not, Michael. I mean, look,
I was teeing you up to say nice things. This is what you do.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings, look, I don't think they're good enough to do this. Really, I don't. But I do think that they have the ability to move the football. Now, they didn't do it last week against the Bears team. They really didn't. And so I think, to me, that could be something that, you know, you got to look at and say, okay, why couldn't they move? What worries me about them, Minnesota, is blocking San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Cousins getting constant pressure on a big-time game. I don't like it. But, you know, I could see it happening. I just don't think it will happen.
Plus 240 on the money line for Minnesota to handle business in prime time at home. I'm just hoping that San Francisco gets their weapons back and that this day-to-day business is that they end up being fine and it wasn't a big deal to begin with. Talking about Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and of course Trent Williams. Now, another team we talked about yesterday, Michael, as one that we should not be counting out for the college football playoff, despite having one loss, is the Alabama Crimson Tide. They are a 20-to-1-ish shot to win a national championship. Could it make you say, why not? Seems like potentially could be on an ugly collision course with Georgia for an SEC title. They win that. Who's to say? Who's to say?
Why not? I mean, they're playing better defensively. I know they stubbed it. They kind of let down against Arkansas. They could have put that game away many times. But why not? I mean, you know, look, I don't see a dominant team in college football. I mean, Penn State's as good as Ohio State. You know, I mean, look, we talked about it. You know, SC struggled to beat Arizona. You know, they struggled to beat Arizona. Louisville beat Notre Dame. So I think, to me, it's very clear that, you know, that this is a wide open race and Alabama's pedigree. And if Milroe continues to develop and play well, they got a chance. Why not?
Mm. USC, you mentioned they could have been beaten by Arizona. They did get beat by Notre Dame this past week. Utah going out there, plus 215 underdog, number 14 in the country. Utah's not a slouch, despite not having Cam Rising there as starting quarterback. We talked about Kyle Whittingham and his coaching ability, the physicality, the defense that Utah brings, whereas USC has none. Could you say why not to Utah getting this dub?
Why not? I mean, I think they're, you know, and we got Caleb Williams talking about being an owner of an NFL team. Like, he's some God's gift to quarterbacking. I mean, seriously, have you ever heard of a more ridiculous thing in your lifetime, Stormy? Now, I don't know if he said it, so in fairness, I don't know. But it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Pro Football Talk put it out. Like, it makes no – there's nobody giving away ownership. I mean, are you – Tom Brady can't get ownership. He won Super Bowls. I mean, it's comical. And the more that Caleb Williams talks about what he needs when he hasn't won, I mean, like, you think this guy's thrown for 7,000 yards every game. Come on.
I'll keep on beating this drum, Michael. I'm just saying, why not to Drake May, first overall pick?
Why not?
Why not?
I said that on
McAfee
today.
You did?
I mean, like, yeah. And Bucky Brooks said it last week on our show on Saturday. Bucky's like, hey, this is no slam dunk. He's the first pick in the draft, whether he thinks he is or not. I mean, Michael Penix Jr.'s a great kid. Drake May's a great kid. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, you think somebody wants to take a guy who's an eye guy before you get started? Come on.
I mean,
let's face it. That team has no toughness.
No, they don't. I'm with you. Yeah, I love this kind of drama, Michael. I love it when you get fiery. I have so many more Why Not Wednesdays to throw at you.
That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Well, all the follow-up headlines are Caleb Williams will never get ownership. Like that's what everything has come out since then.
So stupid. And you know, so he doesn't want to go play for an NFL team. How about Joe Burrow? He had no problem. Oh, well.
It is what it is, Michael. Oh, well. I'm glad we ended on a fun and fiery note. That's a wrap for today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Keep it locked here on VSiN for Sharp Money. Coming up next, Pablo Torre on DraftKings Network. Thanks for hanging out with us.